Greetings to each one. It's good to be in the house of God again this morning, fellowshipping with the believers, looking into His Word. Appreciate what we've heard already. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer before we go further. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. Thank you for this opportunity we have of gathering into your house and doing it without fear of someone coming in and breaking things up. Thank you that we have your word, that we can look into it and find direction for our lives. Father, we just pray that your blessing be upon us, pray that you would bless your word, make it come alive in our hearts, and bring those things to mind that you would have me to share this morning. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last Sunday morning, I had Raymond's spot. Raymond had this morning reading. And I read Psalm 119. Now, I'm not going to Psalm 119, but Psalm 119 was very full of the Word of God. The Word was in almost every verse. And after you read that, I read it probably three times myself and then here in church. And there's a lot that you take in if you do that. But there's one thing I thought about. My thoughts went, what does the Word do for us? And I had to think about the Word being like water. And I guess the phrase that come to me and I was pondering is the washing of water by the Word. Washing of water by the Word. So, for a title, The Water of the Word. Now, I guess to make this come alive, let's think about water, first of all. How important is water to us? Very essential, very basic. What about in creation? What was there? Water covered the face of the deep, right? So water was very much a part even in creation. I'd just like to get some response from you. How important is water?
Can't live without it.
Can't live without it. For what reason?
Dehydrate.
Dehydrate, right? How much of our body is water?
90%.
90%, that's a little bit high. I've heard several figures, but 60%, over half of our body is water. Okay, so what happens when our body gives off water, so we need to take water in. We need to keep that 60% there, or we have problems. Okay. Why is water important?
That's
hydration. What do you have, Leonard?
Water cleanses, helps.
Cleanse. Has a cleansing effect. That's right. Okay, cleansing effect when we drink it. What else?
Helps to grow crops.
That's right. If it don't rain and we don't irrigate, the crops die, right? They shrivel up.
Water flushes the impurities out of your body.
Right, cleansing. What do we use water for?
Washing,
right? Ourselves, our houses, our dishes. What would it be like without water? Can you imagine?
Yeah, we use it to quench thirst.
Quench thirst. That's right.
Water helps to cool us.
Cool. Regulates, helps regulate our temperature. Sweating.
Water is a power force. You can use it to generate.
Okay. That's some, yeah. Flowing water can be harnessed. Water can be used to put fire out. So, water is important. Now, the water of the Word. Water is important. Can we take some of these things and realize that the Bible is just as important to us as water is? I was just doing a flooring project, and I come to a spot where, well, you pull the appliance out, and underneath is what? Dirt. Now, if I take a dry cloth, I can get a good bit of it, but you know what? There's some dirt still there. So what did I do? I went and made the cloth wet. And I scrubbed. And then that is what it needed. So cleaning the floor, a wet cloth did much more than a dry one. So, I think we did hit pretty much the list that I had here. I'd like to look at three different aspects of we use water for cleansing, and we need to take it in, and we also give it out. So that's the three aspects I'd like to look at this morning. And I did mention the washing of water by the Word. Let's look at a few other passages, a few other references here. Zechariah 13. Zechariah 13 and verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. I think I'll stop there. The fountain for cleansing, for sin and uncleanness. Not often that we would go to a fountain to go to get washed, but there is something there. It's flowing water, and it's a place to get clean. And this is for sin and uncleanness. Let's go to the New Testament for a few. Titus. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Beginning in verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And here's what we're looking for: by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. There's a cleansing and a filling. Washing and renewing, very closely related. Now, for another one, let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 10. Hebrews is an interesting book for me. I find it interesting looking at Hebrews as taking from an old covenant to the new. Let's start in verse 16. This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, what was different there? I will remember no more. They had rituals and sacrifices that did not take away the sin like Jesus' blood did. Verse 18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Notice in verse 22, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. that the word sprinkled there, I've been pondering some. What all significance is behind that word? Now, we don't have the reference that a Jew would have. All of the sprinklings that they had in the Old Testament, there were many, many, many sprinklings. You made a sacrifice. What was done with the blood? Sprinkled on the altar, sprinkled around the door, and sprinkled on the person. Go take a look and follow that word some. And you'll notice that there's a lot of sprinkling happened. Now, I don't know if I ever saw it quite as much as I did this time, thinking about their reference. And here we have their hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. There was sprinkling that went on. They knew what sprinkling was. We're not that familiar with. But they had a picture of what that sprinkling meant. And here we have their hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Jesus' blood was sprinkled, and it cleansed the conscience. And our bodies washed with pure water. Where the sacrifices that they took, that they gave, they sprinkled, and then they washed before it was offered. So they had a picture of what all this meant. Here we see Jesus. He did it once for all. That's the exciting part. But nonetheless, our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, let's go back to Ephesians 5. This is the one that had gotten my attention. Ephesians 5, start in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Looking at the washing of water by the word, Jesus loved us that much that he was willing to give his life, to shed his blood, so that we can be clean. Clean in a way that the Old Testament did not. Their rituals did not do what Christ's blood did. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. Sanctify. To separate from the profane and dedicate to God. That he might sanctify. Take away from that profane and dedicate to God. And then, what's the other word here? Cleanse. Might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. Cleanse is to make clean. Outwardly, to remove by cleansing, and morally, free from sin and guilt. That was the cleansing. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, I don't know that I can give a real picture of what this means. The washing of water by the word. One of the illustrations that I heard given, not original with myself, but if you have a cup, and you have, excuse me, my voice is dry, not enough water. What I was saying was the cup. You can put all kinds of filth in that cup, whatever that might be. Make it so that water is dirty, dark color. Now, what can we do to change what that cup looks like? All you have to do is set it under the spigot. Turn the water on. Water flows in, and all of those impurities will wash out. It don't take real long, but just set it under the spigot. Let the water run in and all the impurities come out, and you have a clear glass of water. In the same way, if we get into the Word of God and just allow the Word of God to come in, what happens? That other stuff is... What word do I want? It's exchanged. Water is put in, the dirt goes out. Now, let's turn to Psalm 51. This is another passage that sheds some light on this. David was one that fell into sin. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Wash and cleanse. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Now, the word wash has to do with the work of a fuller. Now, there again, That's something that the Jews, the Old Testament, knew all about. And maybe we have a little bit of a picture, but there's another place that talks about fuller soap. There was soap used. It was a way to clean wool or clothing. Now, we've had sheep, and the wool was not real clean. And a fuller would take the dirty wool and clean it. One of the ways for doing that was to go to a stream and have little children walk and stamp around on the wool to make it clean. So the fuller in the Old Testament times would not do his thing inside the city. He would be outside the city for a couple different reasons. He needed space to hang up whatever he was cleaning after it was cleaned. And the other thing was the odor. It wasn't a very pleasant smell. And I don't know if it was the soap that was used or the filth that was coming out, or maybe it was a combination of both. But there, it was not a pleasant smell. The fuller would make things white. There was a Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. His raiment or his? He was whiter than a fuller could make it. So it was very white. Okay, let's read on a little further here. Verse 7 is the verse I'm looking for. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than the fuller can make it. Purge me with hyssop. Hyssop was used when they did their sprinkling. Oftentimes, it was used to be a tool for sprinkling blood or water. So purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Get a different picture of clean when we think about the fuller. Create in me a clean heart. Maybe there's some tramping has to happen to get some of that filth out of us. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto me, thee. I think I'll stop there. We could be reading on, but I'll stop. Now, we just came from Ephesians 5. What is the product that Jesus was bringing or wanting? A bride that was what? Spotless? No spot or wrinkle. No spot or wrinkle. Something that was clean, pure. Let's turn to another one in 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the three parts of us, that your whole spirit, soul, and body, that it says here, the God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely, every part of you. And that we would be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, even to the end. Okay, next I'd like to think about us receiving the Word of God. Just like we are thirsty, we have a desire for the Word of God. I didn't look it up, but is it in Timothy where it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. I think we can put water there, and it would fit as well. But the word there I'd like to highlight is desire. Desire for that word. Psalm 119, verse 130, says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. The entrance of thy word. We need to, for the word to do a work in us, to be beneficial to us, we need to allow it to enter. It's not any good if we let it run off. We need to allow it to enter. What is our love for the word like? As a deer pants after the water brook, so my soul pants after you. So my soul pants after the word. Are we thirsty? Do we have that desire? Do we have a love for God's word? What are some hindrances for receiving the word of God? Maybe you have a little bit of input on that one. What are some hindrances that we have that would keep us from that word? Entering from having that desire? I think Matthew might have given one this morning. Being busy. Busyness of life. Being caught up with the cares of life. Any other?
Media?
Something else taking its place?
Unforgiveness?
Something standing between us and another person, and God can't flow into us. His word will not be as meaningful. Any others?
Lack of discipline.
Take some discipline to get into the word.
Much serving.
Thinking of Martha. Yes. Hinders that fellowship with the Lord. I guess my thoughts these days, sometimes I'm going about my work and I'm thinking about what I'm doing and saying, how does this connect with spiritual things? Right now, we're growing mums. And there's many pots out in the field, but each pot has a hose that goes into it. And what happens if the water's not getting to that pot? What happens? Now, the rain can... depends how much rain we have. But if it stops raining, what happens to the mums? What do you think? It will die eventually. So we set mums out. Then I have to. Part of my job is to make sure they're getting water, or else they will not prosper. They will die if I don't come around and fix things. So there's a number of things. And I guess the thing that I was most often happens is it's just a small tube. And in that tube, we have a stake. That stake has a little screen-like and then a narrow channel that it runs in. The reason for that channel is so that it distributes to 8 different stakes evenly. So it has to have a little resistance there. But that is what plugs up, this little screen and the channel. So I have to take it apart, clean it, make sure the tube is open and that channel is open, and put it together, and usually it works. It seems like at the beginning of the season is when it's the worst, after it's been setting for a while. So if we're only occasional at getting water, or we go a long time maybe without getting into the Word, there's a buildup that loosens and then goes, and it plugs up. So we need to open it up, and it seems like if it's used regularly, it stays open. Every now and then, we set mums out, and maybe it don't get plugged in, or else there's an outlet with 8 hoses on. If that hose pulls off of that outlet, that one is not getting water. And you know what else happens? There's 8. Let's do a little bit of thinking about a family. We have 8 coming out of one. And if that hose is pulled off, the other 7 are not going to have the pressure, because the one hose that's off, the water just dumps out onto the ground. So think about a family. We got one person in the family that's not connected. The others suffer. So that's, everybody needs to be connected for this to work properly. So as I walk through the patch, I look for one plant that is different from the others. It is either wilted, the others got water, this one didn't, and it's usually smaller. The color of the leaves, it's just, you're walking down the row and you say, oh, there's one. It's not hard to pick them out. So, I guess the challenge for us is, let's keep the crud cleaned out of our supply lines into our hearts. Another thing that I look for is broken pieces. And I need to replace or fix what's broken. So, we need to be taking in the Word. And that's what is necessary for our lives to prosper. Now, another aspect that we'd like to look at, and that is flowing out water. We take water in, and it needs to flow out as well. John 7. Let's look at that one first. Jesus is talking about himself, but it also fits with the Word. John 7. 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." We have that desire. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." How many of us have a desire to have living water flowing out of us? We do, don't we? I think that's normal. What do we do to help that to happen? We have a part to play. It is from God. Let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 12. I'd like to mention before we look at these verses, Jeremiah 2:13. The Israelites had forsaken me, the what? The fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns. So we can turn our back on the fountain, turn away from the fountain. But there's things we can do to enhance that flow coming out of us. Isaiah 12. Let's just read it. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's what brought me to this chapter. Ye shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. Okay, and now how do we do that? In that day ye shall say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry aloud and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Now, what are we seeing here in verses 4, 5, and 6? The principle here is for it to flow out, we need to start giving it out, and then it will flow in, and it will come out. Therefore, with joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's the platform, joyful. In verse 4, in that day ye shall say, Praise the Lord. Let's have some praise coming out of our lips. As I was making notes here, I wrote down, be thankful. And then behind it, I wrote, give thanks. There's a difference between being thankful and giving. You can be thankful and keep your mouth shut. But here it's saying, praise the Lord. Let's voice it. What happens? Let's turn it around a little bit. Praise the Lord. What's the opposite of praise? Complaining? What happens if we get up mumbling, grumbling, and complaining? What happens to that flow? It's stopped up, isn't it? We don't have that flow coming out of us. So let's, with joy, say, Praise the Lord. Next is call upon his name. Use his name. God has been good to me. Jesus has given his life so that I might have life, that I might have it more abundantly. Declare his doings among the people. Don't just think about it. Declare it. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. We're to remind others that his name is above other names. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Psalm 8. Okay, what's another thing we should be doing? Singing. Sing unto the Lord. We sing. What happens if we're having a difficult day and we start singing? Maybe we don't feel like it at the time, but by the time we get into singing a little bit, doesn't it something lift you up? That's sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. And verse 6, cry aloud and shout. I guess not here right now, but cry aloud and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. I had to think of the encouragement we got. A brother said, let's pray out loud instead of quietly. Let's give it out. So the principle is, let's open our mouths and I will fill it, says the Lord, right? Open our mouth. Open the mouth wide and I will fill it. Proverbs. There's a principle in Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, 24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. He's not holding back, he's scattering. And there is an increase. There is that withholdeth more than his meat, but tendeth to poverty. Sometimes we hold back, we go to poverty. Verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. That we give out, we get more poured into us. So, the water of the word, let's allow it to cleanse us. Let's be hungry for it, desiring it. And let's let it flow out. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you at the end of this message here. We want to thank you for your word. Thank you that it is alive, something that we benefit from in many ways, that of cleansing us, that of being enriched by taking it in and also by giving it out. So Lord, help us all to be into your word and allow it to do a work in us and also in others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.